What's up? Ben, welcome in. You're listening to ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Under the Hood with John the Hood. Weeknights at 7 here on ESPN 1000. Open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. Hit me up on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet J Hood. Also, on Snapchat, Snap J Hood. You follow me on Snapchat, I will follow you back, guaranteed. We will have Tales from the Hood coming up at the bottom of the hour. That is stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. We'll have our summer of football. It's about in about 8 minutes. We'll hear from Russell Baxter. We'll get his thoughts on a number of things from fansided.com. He's from also profootballguru.com. So we'll hear from Russell, his thoughts about the Bears and the NFC North here on ESPN 1000, because every single night we talk something football, because we are getting ready for training camps to open across this country, especially in Bourbonnais, Illinois, and college football as well. So if you're a college football fan, you come to the right place, because nobody's going to preview the college football season like this program. And the same thing with the NFL. We got you. We're starting early. Everybody wants to wait till Bourbonnais or like deep into the preseason. No, we start in June, because we know that the football season should be interesting, college and pro. We always do it every summer here on ESPN 1000. So if you're just joining us, more fall to roll, more interesting stories, more intrigue coming from the NBA free agency. As I mentioned before, in hour one, is all I've been talking about, whether it's on my SiriusXM NBA radio show. I worked with Jeff Rickard, the always affable Jeff Rickard, on Friday, and then worked with Sean Farnham on Saturday, and worked with Nick Friedel and Bobby Marks on Sunday, and we talked about NBA free agency. My whole weekend has just been looking at a laptop or looking at an iPad, looking at all these numbers and stats and information and news coming across. No matter if you are a fan of the league or not, the stories are intriguing. And I know that there are some, and I see that already on Twitter, twitter.com, tweet J Hood, that have an issue with Boogie Cousins signing with the Golden State Warriors. Oh, they already have so much. It's so unfair. It's so unfair. The thing that is unfair is, no matter what NBA team you root for, whether it's the Bulls, the Bucks, the Pacers, the Pistons, whoever you're a fan of, right? If you're not a fan of Golden State or the Lakers or teams that are compiling talent, you shouldn't be mad at the league. You should be mad at your favorite team. That's where the anger, frustration, dismay should emanate. It should go to your favorite team. It should come from this. It should be the issue. You should have an issue with your favorite team. You know why? Because your favorite team should be a destination like it is in Los Angeles, or a destination like it is in Oakland / San Francisco. That's what's happening right now. DeMarcus Cousins is coming off a devastating injury, and he signed the minimum. Signed what JaVale McGee could have signed for, a year, $5.3 million until he's healthy. You know why? Because he wants to be with the best. And unfortunately, the best is not in Brooklyn or Orlando, or it's not in New Orleans, or it's not in Memphis. It's not in Chicago. It's in Oakland, San Francisco. It's with the Golden State Warriors. He figured, if I'm going to prove myself, why do I have to prove myself with a team that's not going to contend? And there is the issue. Be upset with your favorite team. Why isn't your favorite team the destination? Bulls fans, how come Chicago's not a destination? I would have loved to be able to tell you right now with breaking news that DeMarcus Cousins has signed with the Chicago Bulls for a year to prove himself, $5.3 million. You know what that would do for the Bulls when he gets healthy? Oh, my God. The monster. Never mind about the attitude and whether or not you like him or not. I don't care. I'm an adult. I don't care about whether or not he smiles at you or whether or not he is fan-friendly. And if he growls on the court, I don't care. That guy is a monster on the court. He's crazy. He loves to play the game. He's passionate about the game. And when he's healthy, all he can do is help this Golden State Warriors team. He chose the Warriors because they're the champions. Kevin Durant chose the Warriors because in free agency, you have the right to be free. This is why I think maybe a section of you may like the NFL better. Because in the NFL, where these players are pretty much shackled to their team, and it's only because of the salary situation, and because of what they signed in the last CBA, they can't exceed a certain number like they want to. There's always this cap over them. And because they had a rush to judgment, because in the last lockout, like, oh man, I don't have any money, man. I gotta sign this right now. Let's do this right now. Let's do it. I don't have any money. And then they signed this. Now some have been able to get quality guaranteed money out of it. You know, the Kirk Cousins of the world. But the thing is that still some of the greatest athletes in sports today can't get paid what they want to get paid because the NFL Players Association just rushed into that salary situation with the CBA. And now NBA players, because it's a players league, some of you don't like it. And I think it's funny. You got the NBA players is doing what they want to do, that they run, they're running things. They're as powerful, in some cases more powerful than the owners. And some of you can't take that. That sticks in your craw. You hate that. And I think it's funny. Because the players, with their blood, sweat, and tears, they continue to work and work and work and try to put together a championship ball club. Yes, the organization has a lot to do with it because you have to choose those players. You got to be able to scout those players. You got to draft those players, all that. But it comes down to the players. It's a players' league. And the reason why that you can't stand all this talent being in one conference, or you can't stand that DeMarcus Cousins has done this, or how LeBron James goes to the Lakers and not stay with Cleveland because of the imbalance of the West and East. You can't stand it, but guess what? It's a players' league. So keep watching those leagues that is all about owners, where the players don't have a say. I always find that fascinating. One of these shows we'll talk about how some fans, Eric, kind of look at it like, you know, as a you work 9 to 5, right? You work in a usual shift. Maybe you're a third shifter, but you work every day for your dollar. And some of you are not the executive in your company. Some of you are just working for the man, right? What are the players doing? They're working for executives. They're working for owners. But when it comes to lockouts, when it comes to strikes, more times than not, some fans are siding with the owners. Well, what about the players? In your company where you work, aren't you the player? It's not fair. You wouldn't go for the top dollar if you could. You wouldn't go to the best place possible to work if you could to make the most money, but yet you criticize NBA players. I'm not saying this is you, but if that's you, I am talking to you. I just think that's incredible. Like we all are trying to meet. I'm talking about me, you, everybody's trying to get top dollar. And when an athlete tries to get top dollar, you have an issue with it. That's craziness to me. I don't understand that. We're all trying to get ahead. We're all trying to get over. NBA players are trying to be in the best position for them, their families, everything else. But yet you can't relate to that. But yet you're going through the same situation every day. I know that my audience, this particular show, has a blue collar. There's some white collar. There's a whole bunch of different demographics listening to this show. But the idea that DeMarcus Cousins is shameful for wanting to go to a championship team. In your line of work, don't you want to be a champion? Don't you want to be the very best? Don't you want to make the most money? But yet what DeMarcus Cousins is doing is just shameful. So keep watching the NFL. Keep watching Major League Baseball. Keep watching these other sports. But in the NBA, where it's a players league, they are trying to do what they can to make the most money. And the other thing, too, I want to point out that I've said several times, I mentioned over the weekend as well, is that in the NBA, it's not just about money. It's not the only thing. Because already coming into the league, you have generational wealth. You come in with generational wealth. But especially millennials, they are concerned about legacy. They're concerned about having jewelry along with those. When you talk to young players, they want to be an NBA champion no matter what. And yes, we are in a swipe right generation in the NBA where it's like 4, 5, 6 years, just doesn't feel right. I'm going to go someplace else. They have the right to swipe right, especially when they're free agents. This is what free agency is for. It's free. But yet you want them shackled to an organization as long as possible. And I just think that's amazing. Time for Summer of Football.
The Summer of Football at 8 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
To be part of a great team, here's Hilton blitzing off the slot again. Patrick Hopkins, oh my goodness. Did he catch that? That's the touchdown catch of the year.
Shotgun snap. Swing pass. Left side curly on the screen. 20. Got a block. 25. Into space. 40.
And he's
Todd Gurley hits him. Jet midfield.
He's gone.
Todd Gurley. 20. 10. Gurley for MVP. Touchdown, LA!
Early stages, second quarter. Newman popped up in the air. Intercepted. Eddie Jackson. Jackson is still going. Another defensive highlight. Touchdown, Bears.
The summer of football.
Rob gets it. Hands off to Sony Michel. What a hole down the right side. 10-5. Touchdown. Sony Michel rips off another big one. This time for 38 yards.
Breaking into open field and on the run is Josh Adams. Josh Adams inside the 30 and the 20 and the 10 and all the way home for yet another super run.
Here's Barkley. Big hole. Left side 20. He's to the 30. Avoids the tackle down the far left sideline. They can't catch him. 10-5. Barkley high steps it across the goal line. 92-yard touchdown run.
The Summer of Football with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Yes, it's the Summer of Football with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. So glad that you're with us. Football season. It's right here, right in front of us. College, pro. It's going to be such a fun season. We turn to a man who loves the National Football League, friend of the program. Every time we do Summer of Football, we turn to Russell Baxter. Go to ProFootballGuru.com as we have this conversation. ProFootballGuru.com. Russell Baxter joins us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Russell, Jonathan Hood, thanks so much for your time.
All right, I'm trying to keep up here. Did Kirk Cousins sign with the Golden State Warriors?
No, that's not what happened, Russell. No.
Okay. I just want to, you know, I was saying on Twitter, you got the Smash Brothers, you got Cousins. I mean, who's next? Sister Sledge?
I'm a big fan. No, Russell, listen, I know that the news is fast and furious, but no, you did not. You do have that confused. Yes, it's not Kirk Cousins. It's DeMarcus Cousins. So tell me, Russell, let me start here because I enjoyed your column from fansided.com. We'll put the link out there for people to take a look at. Chicago Bears, five players who must improve. First and foremost, with the Bears, how do you look at some of the changes that they made? How do you look at their roster for the 2018 season?
Well, it's funny. I didn't do all 32 teams for this series. It was kind of collaborative effort with some of the other writers who picked out some teams before I got to them and so on. But I can safely say I did more than 20 teams, Jonathan. The Bears were the only team I did in which all five players that I picked to improve were on the same side of the football, and that was on offense. And I am fascinated by the Bears coming into this season. And I know a lot of people have already kind of jumped the gun on Matt Nagy, Sean McVay comparisons. But to me, one of the best moves this team made was keeping Vic Fangio and keeping that defense and adding to that defense and then going out and getting the wide receivers for Mitch Trubisky and getting maybe a little help on the offensive line because they're good, but you had the 30th ranked offense and the worst passing attack in the league. Mm-hmm. And I just like what they have done. They moved very quickly in free agency. They also addressed wide receiver in the draft as well with Anthony Miller. So I think there's a lot to be feeling good about, for lack of a better word, when it comes to the Bears, a team that, you know, unfortunately has won 19 games the last 4 years and has been in the basement the last 4 years. But as we keep on seeing, especially in the NFC, Jonathan, I think, I'm not going to say everybody, a lot of people might not fathom how crazy the NFC was last year. Every team that won the division did not have a winning record the year before. The Eagles went from last, and I know 7-9 last, not 3-13 last. Mm-hmm. They went from last to a Super Bowl title. The NFC East champion has gone from last to first 5 of the last 6 years. The Rams were in the playoffs for the first time in over a decade. And there's only been one team to make the playoffs in the NFC 2 years in a row. Any guesses?
Who is it?
The Atlanta Falcons. That's it.
Wow.
Think how crazy that is. Okay? I mean, that's the NFC, which, you know, right now the NFC looks like the Western Conference in the NBA with all the way they loaded up.
Right.
You know, especially the Rams and Ndamukong Suh, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, Brandon Cooks. Maybe they'll sign DeMarcus Cousins for all I know. So,
Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com with Jonathan Hood on the Summer of Football on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Russell, what do you remember most about the Chiefs' offense under Andy Reid and Matt Nagy?
Well, the ability to stretch the field. I mean, they wind up with the league's best, the league rushing leader in Kareem Hunt, mm-hmm. who also could get down. I still see him running by every Patriots linebacker on opening weekend or opening Thursday night. Mm-hmm. His ability to catch the ball. Tyreek Hill, who is a blazer. Jason Kelce, who is a downfield threat at tight end. By the way, they have all those guys there now, and now they end at Sammy Watkins. So if Andy Reid does not win the Super Bowl this year, he can always enter the team in the 2020 Olympics.
Right.
I'll just throw that out there. Okay?
Right.
But I think Matt Nagy gives you the ability. And here's what we... You know what's funny? Matt Nagy, just like Doug Peterson, is an Andy Reid disciple.
Mm-hmm.
And you often see... Now, think about Andy Reid for a second. Now, I'm not going to disparage one of the great coaches in the league. But Andy has been known for not, at times, being great with the clock, correct?
Correct.
And so-so in terms of gambling. And then we saw Doug Peterson. What happens, I think, with great coaches and the guys who spawn off from them, not in every instance, they take what they've learned and add their own nuances. And I'm going to be interested to see what nuances Matt Nagy brings from Andy Reid.
I guess when I look at what you wrote, I guess next year or this upcoming season should be better than what happened last year, because look at the lack of quality that for Trubisky to throw to. First of all, I don't even know if Trubisky is the right guy or not, but then look at what it just shows you how important a wide receiver or a tight end is for any quarterback to utilize. And that just wasn't there for the Bears last year.
Well, them and the Colts tied for the fewest touchdown passes as a team in the league last year, 13. Okay? Mm-hmm. That's like September for Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
Okay? No Bears wide receiver caught more than one touchdown pass last year. Adam Shaheen led the team with 3 touchdown receptions, the tight end. So they were really devoid of play. I mean, obviously, Kevin White's played 5 games in 3 years. I thought they got a decent year from Kendall Wright, mm-hmm. Who I think is an above-average player, not a superstar player. I think, by the way, he's a great addition for the Minnesota Vikings. But the fact that they went out and got Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel and Benny Fowler and then drafted Anthony Miller, okay, and went out and got Trey Burton, who, by the way, if Mitch Trubisky has a bad year, Trey Burton can throw the football. We've seen that.
Yes.
He might have to throw to Mitch Trubisky, of course. But all that you think about all of this, and that doesn't mean the Bears are going to come out and wing it and all that. I mean, they still have a great backfield combination of Jordan Howard and Terry Cohen. Terry Cohen, pretty good pass catcher in his own right, mm-hmm. and so on. Jay just have to have the kind of balance to help out their defense. Now, I will also say this. If they can somehow convince the league for them to transfer from the NFC North to the AFC North, they would probably be in pretty good shape as well, considering they swept the AFC North last year.
So weird, this league, isn't it? How does that happen?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it was kind of bizarre. But, you know, that Bears, the thing that I really liked about the Bears defense, there wasn't a ton of changes. They actually got rid of a couple people, and so including Pernell McPhee. But that team, after a couple years of when are they coming, with John Fox and Vic Fangio, they really made definitive strides last year. And I'm excited. I have referred to the Bears as the most intriguing team in the NFC this offseason, and I firmly believe that.
Go to ProFootballGuru.com to read the latest from Russell Baxter. He joins me, Jonathan Hood, on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app on Summer of Football. So when you look at all the divisions, I don't know if you've made your official prediction or wrote this yet, Russell, but do you look at the NFC North as one of the best in the NFL?
Well, yeah. I mean, I look at Minnesota last year, which was a very balanced football team. The thing that impressed me about Minnesota last year was the fact that, think about this, Jonathan, 4 weeks into the season, were we talking about Alvin Kamara or were we talking about Dalvin Cook?
Hmm.
Now, Dalvin Cook goes down in the fourth game, correct?
Correct.
Minnesota still finished the year with the second most running plays in the entire league. The fact that they went with what they had in Jerick McKinnon, Latavius Murray, McKinnon's gone now, it's a big blow for them. But they stayed balanced. When you're balanced, it helps your passing attack. It helps your defense to stay off the field. Kirk Cousins is going to get the opportunity to play with two components that he never had in Washington as a starter: a respectable defense and a running game. Go back and look. The running game got worse year after year. Now, I mean, Kirk Cousins, 4,000 yards here, 4,000 yards there, incredibly accurate, but, I mean, sue for a lack of support. So now, of course, Aaron Rodgers comes back. Jury's still out on the defense. There's no question about that. Muhammad Wilkerson's there. Mike Pettine's the new defensive coordinator. As usual, they drafted a whole bunch of defensive backs, so we got to see how they gel. I'm excited about Detroit in the sense that, again, new head coach, but will they learn to run the football this year? No team in the league over the past four seasons has run the ball for fewer yards than the Lions. Here's a stat to chew on for you, Jonathan.
Okay.
Over the last 4 years, the Lions have played a total of 66 games, 64 in the regular season and two in the playoffs. You often hear about that streak of not having a 100-yard rusher by the team, mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
In those 66 games, the Lions have been held under 100 yards as a team in 50 of them.
Oh. Oh.
50 out of 66. Not an individual runner. I'm talking about as a team. Now, you know, you can't tell. Listen, I know the running game doesn't have the same impact that it had 30 years and so on. But, you know, ask a coach. Run the football, stop the run. That's still a mantra in the NFL.
How does that happen, not just over just one coaching staff, over several regimes, Russell? How does that happen under Millen the same way? How you would think that Millen, as a GM back in the day, a bread-and-butter guy that would like to run the football, how does that happen that you just go through coach after coach and still can't run the football?
I think what happens is when you have a prolific passer like Matthew Stafford and then you surround him with Golden Tate and eventually Marvin Jones and, you know, some of the other things. And remember a couple years ago with the 10th pick in the draft, they went after a tight end, Eric Ebron, who's no longer with the team.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is a mentality around the league of some that, listen, I understand you're supposed to outscore the other team. I get that, okay? Mm-hmm. That's not what works. But the lack of balance and throwing it all on your quarterback to carry the load has never worked in this league. I point out two historical stats that are two of my favorites, and they're hard to dispute. Jonathan, we have seen 9 teams in the history of the NFL score at least 540 points. I don't throw that out number as a random number because that's almost 35 a game. The last one was the Atlanta Falcons in 2016. Of those 9 teams, none of them won the Super Bowl.
Oh, wow.
There have also been 52 Super Bowl champions, and I'm still waiting for the first quarterback to lead the league in passing yards and win the Super Bowl the same season.
Wow. It's amazing numbers. This is amazing. I'm looking forward to – I hope that hope the Bears are listening, because if you're optimistic, hopefully they'll be optimistic too, because they've been in the doldrums for way too long.
Yeah.
Trestman, Fox, it has been too long.
And one of their biggest issues, obviously, when you go 19-45
yeah.
over a 4-year span, that's not good. But I mean, last year, you know, they pulled a donut in the NFC North. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I mean, if you can't win the games in your own division, I mean, what change? I mean, it's great you went 4-0 against the AFC North. You went 0-6 versus the NFC North, and their divisional record over the last 2 or 3 years has been absolutely awful. Yeah. I mean, you think about. And think about the fact that they played the Packers last year with Aaron Rodgers and then without Aaron Rodgers and couldn't beat him either way.
Right. I don't know. It's just so painful. But we deal with it all the time watching the Bears and being Bears fans. Russell, I'm glad you spent some time. Let's do it again, sir.
Sure. Call back in 10 minutes.
All right. I will do that. Russell Westbrook. We're talking about Russell Westbrook. We've been talking about the Pelicans. We've been talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder. We're talking about what's going on with the NBA as far as free agency is concerned. And, of course, we always have time for football, summer of football, every single night at 8:10 right here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. Don't forget to call. Go to profootballguru.com, profootballguru.com for the latest from Russell Baxter. Don't call him Erica Tibbetts.
We don't want to. No, we got Tales from the Hood. Maybe he's got a story he wants to share.
No.
Okay.
No, that's okay. It was like, do you know how many times that there has been 400 trucks tipped over with chocolate coming out of it? He would know that number.
I bet he would have that stat. None of those trunk companies won championships either.
No, they did. Right. No, they did not. He has the information if we asked him, that's for sure. We will do Tales from the Hood. That's coming up next.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.
What do you got there?
This is your car.
My car? I said a 10-second car, not a 10-minute car.
Pop the hood.
Pop the hood?
Pop the hood.
Tales from the Hood with Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
Here we go.
Time for Tales from the Hood here on ESPN 1000, the ESPN app. I don't see the read. Is it still? It's still sponsored by Northwestern Football. It should be in here. Let me go with my. Hold on.
It's in that packet somewhere.
Hold on. Ah, here it is. It was the 19th out of 20 pages. I found it.
That was intentional. I was playing a game with you.
Tales from the Hood is brought to you by the fine folks at Northwestern Football, Chicago's Big Ten team. The Wildcats return to Ryan Field this fall after a 10-win season. Tell us Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, and more. Buy tickets at NUSports.com, NUSports.com. Tales from the Hood, stories of sports, entertainment, everything else in between. I'd like to remind you that the Under the Hood podcast is available to you wherever you find your podcast, whether it's the TuneIn app, whether it's Apple Music, whether it is Google Play, wherever you find your podcast. Look for Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. Some terrific conversations. I put a flashback up there. Joseph Sikora, who plays Tommy in the TV show Power, saw Power yesterday. Finally got a chance to see something besides NBA free agency for a minute. And saw the season premiere of Power on Stars last night. Tremendous. Not going to give it away, but just restaurant quality. Good stuff there. So, but Joseph Sikora, who plays Tommy, is the latest podcast up there. So if you want to go back and listen to that, if you're a fan of that show, that's on Stars, produced by 50 Cent, check it out. Joseph Sikora, Chicago Zone, along with my interview with Terry Bores, is up there as well. And of course, all the shows. If you missed any of the shows, check it out. Under the Hood with Jonathan Hood. That's where you find the podcast. Okay. Let's take a look at some of the stories here.
Under the hood, behind the scenes, nobody really sees.
Coffee drinkers are more likely to live longer. Decaf may do the trick too. Coffee is far from a vice, but there is a lot of evidence pointing to its health benefits, including the possible longevity boost for those of us with a daily coffee habit. So the latest findings come from a study published Monday in JAMA, J-A-M-A, Internal Medicine, that included about 500,000 people in England, Scotland, and Wales. In the United States, there are similar findings linking higher consumption of coffee to a lower risk of early death in African Americans, Japanese Americans, Latinos, and white adults, both men and women. A daily coffee habit is also linked to a decrease risk of stroke and type 2 diabetes. So it just goes on to talk about how, for years we heard like coffee is not good for you or coffee could be good. And now coffee drinkers can live longer. I mean, what are you supposed to believe with these things?
I know it's like everything. Like it comes out with like eggs where like you should only eat egg whites. And then it's like, well, the yolk has a lot of nutritional value too, but it's high in cholesterol. Like every other week, there's this different study telling you a different thing. And at the bottom of that one, they said, it might not even be any of the, like, antioxidants in the coffee bean. It might just be you're relaxed while you're drinking your coffee. So that's it, because you're happy.
I just think that it just comes down to this, is that if it makes you happy, just do it.
Yeah, there you go. Like, the happiness is going to lead to so many better things in your life. Yep, simple as that.
I mean, you just don't want to have it in excess of anything, obviously. At least I would know. I don't want to have it in excess of anything. But, man, you just try to just live life the best you can. You go through these studies, oh, you shouldn't eat this, or you shouldn't eat that, you shouldn't drink that. Just like, man, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do.
Yeah, just be aware of what you're doing, and then you're going to be happy about it.
It's crazy. It's so
under the hood, behind the scenes, nobody really sees.
Because I see that story, and it's like, well, I could have swore I've done another story like a year ago. You handed me a sheet of saying that coffee's bad for you.
Right, coffee causes aneurysm. It's like, yeah, I'm sure I did. Yeah.
Fort Worth, Texas. Baby boom at Texas Hospital. 48 babies in 41 hours. The nursery at Baylor Scott and White All Saints Medical Center has never been as full as it has been in the last 41 hours, and the halls have never been so busy. Since June 26th, 48 babies were born in less than 2 days. That's an average of more than one baby an hour, and there's definitely a lively discussion here about why. So the OB-GYN, the Dr. Jamie Irwin, says that there's always talk about a full moon. We definitely had a big moon this week.
Pardon the expression.
It's a busy time indeed, according to Texas State records. Most babies are born in the months of July, August, and September. People were asking about staffing. It's like, I don't know what's going on. 2-day-old Isaiah Johnson is one of the 48 babies born this week. After an 18-hour labor, his mom's name is Mrs. Harris. Described the moment when she held him. It was a tearful moment, but it was joyful. I had a rush of joy. 48 babies in 41 hours.
Imagine how loud that hallway is. Like, that nursery right now is just full of 40-plus screaming babies. It sounds terrible.
My goodness, 48 babies. I mean, that's just all in the same place, too, by the way.
Yeah, the same hospital. Like, that's exhausting. Props to those nurses who have been putting in time, I'm sure.
That's like some kind of TV, like a Grey's Anatomy episode or something
really
like that.
It really is.
What are we going to do with these babies? What are we going to do? Yes. It's crisis.
Someone has to jump in front of a vehicle for the baby, and then someone always someone dies in Grey's Anatomy now. So.
Yes, that's true. Minersville, Pennsylvania. A person has cleared their conscience by paying a 44-year-old parking ticket. The Minersville, Pennsylvania Police Department received a letter last week with $5 and a note inside. The return address was Feeling Guilty, Wayward Road, Anytown, California. So Michael Combs, who's a police chief, tells the TV station that the note said, "Dear PD, I've been carrying this ticket around for 40-plus years, always intending to pay. Forgive me if I don't give you my info. With respect, Dave." The fine was from a 1974 parking ticket in the eastern Pennsylvania town. It was $2, but the person added $3 for interest. The same ticket today would be $20.
I mean, okay, good for him. But how does he still have the actual ticket is my question.
I have no idea. How does he have the same ticket? He's like a hoarder.
That's what he does. He just pays all his boat, like, everything back, and it's like he's got receipts stacked everywhere in his house. I don't know. And the $3 interest is great,
you know,
by the way.
No, I was thinking, Eric, about the TV show. Like, this is like My Name is Earl.
It is. You're absolutely right.
Going back like a moron.
Oh, my God. It's so strange, right?
I had this on my conscience for so long, but here's a little extra for interest. $2 ticket. And added $3, and now his conscience is clear.
God, imagine if tickets were $2.
Yes.
I'd be parking wherever the hell I wanted.
In 74, a parking ticket. How about that? A parking ticket in 74 was $2.
$2. Like, that is not deterring anyone.
No, it's not.
Like, I'm parking right outside where I'm going to be.
If you know the ticket, put that on the poll at ESPN 1000. If you know a parking ticket's only $2, would you park there anyway? Yes or no? Eric definitely would. I would too. hey, there's a party going on in this building, but the parking's $2. I don't have cash, or I don't have the credit card for it. Screw it.
Yep, let's go party.
I'm going to go party.
Yep.
Ticket will be up there. Oh, it's only $2. No problem. Is there anything like in the suburbs like that?
There's really not pay for parking out in the suburbs. Like, you can park in the streets, and then, like, I live in a little downtown area, and there's, like, parking, just regular parking, no meter parking.
But keep in mind that Eric lives in rural Whitewater, Wisconsin.
I live out there.
So that's why that's why it's a little town. All right, what do you got, Eric? The birthday boy, Eric Ostrowski. Happy birthday.
Thank you, Jonathan. Ow! Speaking of birthdays, today is the end of a day. Something, it's like pour one out for something I used to do weekly in high school.
Uh-oh.
Best Buy no longer is selling CDs.
Oh.
Pour it out. It was a weekly thing almost. Me and my buddies would just go through all the CDs and decide which one we want at Best Buy. Like, it was a weekly thing for us to just rummage around Best Buy and then play Xbox while we were there kind of thing.
I remember it well.
Oddly enough, they are no longer selling CDs, but they are still selling vinyl records.
Yes.
How about that? That's interesting, isn't it? Because
yes,
they are popular.
Wait a minute. Let me think about that for a second. So not CDs, but vinyl records.
Correct.
At Best Buy.
Yes.
Any Best Buy or just the Best Buy at this location?
Well, I know all the Best Buys are stopping the CDs, so I don't know. It just says, interestingly, though, Best Buy will continue to sell vinyl records for at least 2 more years.
Now, let me think about this for a second. The Best Buy near me used to be in Lansing, I want to say. Is that Lansing over there? For those that know nearby River Oaks, I guess that's Lansing. There was a Best Buy there off of, I want to say, Torrance Avenue. I think I might have got that wrong, but I think it's in Lansing. I don't remember. Was there? I remember plenty of CDs there.
I don't remember records, really, at Best Buys.
If I open the phone lines, maybe somebody will tell me. 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776. Have you ever bought vinyl records at Best Buy? No, I don't think so either.
I don't think I've ever seen them.
CDs, yes, but not vinyl. I'm not talking. I'm talking to the couple out here. The fine couple outside.
Have they?
Yeah. They said no. They've never bought vinyl. Okay. No. I don't remember seeing vinyl records at Best Buy.
They're back. They're hip again, man. I can honestly say I've never bought a record, so I've never bought one at all. I haven't. Like, my dad has a record player and everything. I could easily play one.
Do you have one at the place, though? Do you have one at your place?
No, I don't have a record player at my place.
See, that's a birthday gift. Hold on a second. ESPN 1000, hi.
Hey, this is Alex.
Hey, Alex. Help me.
Hey.
Have you bought a vinyl record at Best Buy?
What's that?
Have you bought a vinyl record at Best Buy?
No.
What'd you call for then?
Oh, I was just going to call to talk about Boogie going to the Warriors.
What do you think of that, pal? What do you think about Boogie going to the Warriors?
I think that's crazy. I think they should have to play Team USA. And these guys, they're just joining up to make sure LeBron doesn't get another ring.
Yeah, that's competition though, right, Alex?
Yeah, it's good though. I like it. I like watching this Warriors team.
So you want to see the Warriors against Team USA, is that what you said?
Yeah, I'd like to see that. They're stacked enough as it is.
You know what, we got to make a team then.
Yeah, that's not the Golden State Warriors. LeBron, Harden, AD.
I like that already.
That's almost like we actually have a fun game. Like, that would be a close game.
You know, we got to work on that.
Man.
I think Alex has something there. Alex has something. Team USA against the Golden State Warriors, who wins? A healthy Boogie with Durant, with Klay Thompson, Steph Curry.
All five of those, that's their starting lineup. All five of them were in the All-Star game last year. How about that?
Against Team USA. Why put that on the poll?
It's interesting.
How about that? Put that on the poll. See how that comes back. At ESPN 1000, who would win between the Warriors starting five with Boogie and a five of your five other NBA All-Stars?
Here we go.
I might have to call Black on that.
It's a good one, yeah. Because it'd be a good game, because they've got so many of the top dudes in the league.
I'm going to call Black. Let's take a look here. See, here's the thing about Chris. He will not answer.
Oh, but he'll text you right away.
Yeah, he'll text you right away.
Yep.
He won't answer. I'll be surprised.
He does know you're on right now, so he's probably confused.
Yeah, he won't answer.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice.
See? I know.
I was hoping his voicemail is one of those where it just reads out his number on the air.
I was quick with it, though. I was quick with it. I'll call Nick instead. Nick won't answer either. Interesting how that would work. Like five Austin.
Hey.
Hey, I'm on the air right now. I want you to answer this question. You ready?
Okay.
Five Golden State Warriors, with Boogie healthy, against five NBA All-Stars. Who win?
The Warriors. They're a team.
But what if I gave you five? Eric, give me the other five. What were you saying now?
So we had LeBron, Harden, Anthony Davis. You could throw Chris Paul in there if you want him as the point guard.
Yeah, what about that? Anthony Davis, Chris Paul, LeBron.
James Harden, Russell Westbrook.
James Harden, Russell Westbrook.
Paul George. There you go.
Paul George.
I still say the Warriors. I still say the Warriors got to play together.
Okay.
The other guys would have to make it up as they go along.
But Boogie's not really part of the mix. I mean, he's still coming back from an injury. You sure that's going to work? I know four of them will work. What about the fifth?
Okay, maybe you got me there.
I'm just
also, hello from the L. I'm on right now. You got me on the L.
Oh, you're on the L right now. All right. Well, I'm glad you chimed in. I just want to get your opinion of that.
All right. I'll see you soon.
Thank you, Nick.
There it is. Just Nick Friedel. Easily swayed, by the way.
Yeah, I know. That wasn't tough. Well, you got me there, hoodie.
We'll put that in the poll, see how it comes back on Under the Hood. I'm not internationally known, but I'm known to rock the microphone. Hey, yo, J Hood. Talk that barbershop talk, dude. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by the Chicago Sky and the University of Chicago Medicine, and invite you to the Chicago Fit Festival on Sunday, July 8th at Soldier Field. Glad that you're with us here on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. Coming up at 9 o'clock hour, we will do a wellness check. Make sure that Gerard Cherry from ESPN Cleveland's okay, because Cleveland is now without LeBron James. Also, Brian Kamenitsky from ESPN Los Angeles will get his thoughts on what's going on in L.A. How do they feel about LeBron being part of the mix? Whatever's going on with LeBron is great. But Boogie Cousins has signed with the Golden State Warriors. Checkmate. Oh, boy. We'll get into that coming up next.
Jonathan Hood on ESPN 1000.